We'll be in Acts chapter number 8, and if you're visiting with us, we're glad to have you. In Acts, we've been studying the book of Acts now for some weeks, and we have finally made our way to chapter number 8. Chapter number 8 is very interesting, and I'll say this, let me look at this verse right here, and I'll have it on the screen there for you. The book of Acts is laid out this way: "But ye shall be my witnesses," Jesus is talking to the disciples, "you shall be my witness. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses unto me, both unto Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth." The way the book of Acts is laid out, the first seven chapters is predominantly to Jerusalem. It's centered around Jerusalem, the Jews. Acts 2, where a lot of the confusion comes from, is Jewish. Chapter 3:19, Jewish, all the way to chapter number 7. Stephen is preaching to the house of Israel. They reject him. They stone him. They kill him. And it's almost like God says, okay, Jerusalem, Jews, time out. Hang on. And then in chapter number 8, where we're going to be tonight, we're going to find ourselves in Judea and Samaria. And then by the time the Apostle Paul gets saved, his name was Saul, changed to Paul when he got saved, writes 13 books of the New Testament and goes to the uttermost parts of the earth. I'll show you this. Very interesting. I hope you can see this. The bright light makes it just a little different. And here's something I need to check and make sure those that are watching at home can see the screen too. But there is a map right there. Oh, let's see. Now, those of you that are watching at home, now can see. All right. You see Jerusalem, very, very center. Well, that's where the book of Acts started. And that thing for the first seven chapters, everything there in the blue was right there in the very center. And then what we're going to see in chapter 8, God causes persecution on the Jews to get them to spread out. So when persecution starts in Jerusalem, they obviously move to other places. Well, what that does, that spreads the gospel. So God allows persecution to get the gospel to spread. So then it spreads to, you see, Judea at the south, Samaria up the top, north, Judea, Samaria, boom. And then, watch this. Here's a bigger map. What we just saw, that is right there in that corner. Do you see Colossae? You see Ephesus? Or you see Corinth, Thessalonica, Philippi, Rome? When Paul gets saved, he starts writing. That's where Galatians comes from. Ephesians, Colossians, Thessalonians, Philippians, Romans. How that thing spreads. Starts in that little bitty spot of Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then goes to the uttermost parts of the earth. And that's how the book of Acts is laid out. Now, let's look at chapter number 8. Let me give you some interesting things about this. Look at verse 1. "And Saul was consenting unto his death." Talking about Stephen in the previous chapter. Stephen is dead. You'll see where Saul had part in that. "And Saul was consenting unto his death." In other words, fine with it. Saul says, "I'm fine with it. Didn't bother me at all." "Consented unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem." Just told you that. "And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of," well, looky there, "Judea and Samaria," except the apostles. Notice, starts in Jerusalem, goes to Judea, Samaria. Chapter number 8 deals predominantly Judea and Samaria. We're moving. Persecution has started in Jerusalem and now has caused the church to spread out. Now, here's something else I want to point out. This is a side note, and I hope it's, I hope you can get something out of it, maybe. All right, let's see. Let me pick purple. All right. Talking about Stephen, died in chapter 7, a martyr. The Jews killed him. Think about the people that have died under the Jews had some part in. The first guy, John the Baptist. Y'all remember that fella? John the Baptist. Now, and then the next guy, y'all remember somebody else was crucified, rejected. Okay. Then we talked about him last week in chapter number 7. Stephen died at the hands of the Jews. Now, you have John, Jesus, Stephen. John, his head, they cut his head off. Jesus, they crucified. Stephen, they stoned. In other words, they said the Jews rejected, said, nope, we don't want any part of that, cut his head off. Jesus, nope, we don't want, he's not our Messiah, crucify Jesus and give us Barabbas. Killed him. Stephen in Acts chapter number 7, killed him. Now watch this. Let me show you how this thing parallels with Matthew 13. I think I'll have it on the screen there for you. Watch this. And if this is a parable, y'all remember the parable of the sower. He sowed four different kinds of ground. He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, number one, and the fowls came and devoured them. Some fell upon stony places. So you got wayside, stony places. And forthwith sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. And there, when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. Here's verse 7. And some fell among thorns. So you got wayside, stony places. Some fell among thorns. Now watch what happens to these thorns. And the thorns sprung up and choked them. And then in verse number 8. But other fell on good ground and brought forth fruit. Some 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. Watch this. We have wayside. We have wayside, stony places, thorny ground, good soil. All right, you with me? Okay. John the Baptist sowed seed among the wayside. Don't y'all love my spelling? Jesus sowed seed among the stony places. Stephen sowed seed in thorny ground. You remember what happened to the thorns? The weeds rose up and choked them. Stephen stoned. 1, 2, 3. And then some fell on good ground. When Jesus comes back, he will sow seed on good ground and it will bring forth 60, some 100, whatever it said. Did everybody see that? The sower went to sow seed, plant seed in the ground. John the Baptist tried it. It fell among the wayside. Jesus came along, tried it. It fell on stone, hard hearts of Jews. They crucified him. Stephen tried to sow the seed among the Jews. They choked him out. One of these days, when Jesus Christ comes, he will sow seed in good ground, and it will bring forth fruit, and the nation of Israel will rise up and march into the kingdom. Now, that's something that might interest you in some way, hopefully. All right. Now, let's look at, verse number 2. We're back in Acts chapter number 8, verse number 2. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling men and women, committing them to prison. We're talking about the guy that wrote Romans. We're talking about the guy that wrote Corinthians. We're talking about the guy that wrote Ephesians, Colossians, and Galatians, and Thessalonians, and Timothy, and Titus, and Philemon. We're talking about that guy killed Stephen, killed Christians. Notice there was a church he persecuted, created havoc against the church before Saul was ever saved. Now look at verse 4. Therefore, They were scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word. That's the reason. Jerusalem, God says, hey, I want you to spread out. And it seemed like they just all wanted to just hang out in Jerusalem. So God allows persecution against the church. And you think, why in the world would God allow persecution against the church? To get them to spread out. You ever notice when an eagle, there's a good sermon about the eagle. An eagle makes that nest very, very soft and comfortable. And then when that eaglet gets to where that eagle wants him to learn to fly and get out of the nest, he starts moving out all of the fur and all the stuff that's comfortable, and he sticks up little sticks and all, makes it very uncomfortable, so he'll want to get out and move. When you get persecuted, you might want to ask God, okay, God, what are you trying to get me to do? You see. Anyway. All right. Verse number 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spoke, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did, for unclean spirits. Crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. Now notice, let me talk about Samaria for a second. The city of Samaria. Now let me tell you about these Samaritans. Philip is going down to preach to these. He was in Jerusalem, now he's spreading out, going to Samaria. Samaritans are half Jew, half Gentile. They're half breed. They're half one, half the other. They're half Jew, half Gentile. Jews didn't associate with Samaritans. Samaritans didn't associate with Jews. They didn't shake hands. They didn't touch. If they saw one another going down the grocery aisle, they'd take the other aisle. They didn't work. They didn't associate. They didn't go out to eat together. They didn't like one another. And so, watch this. The book of Acts, there's so much in here that I could show you. This thing starts very Jewish and then starts moving to half Jew, half Gentile in the same body. Jew, Gentile in the same, hallelujah. Well, some of my dispensational friends will get that, hallelujah. These Samaritans. Now, in Acts chapter number 8, this great revival in Samaria started. Anybody want to take a wild guess where this revival started? Y'all remember a woman at the well? She was a Samaritan in John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, Jesus goes to the woman at the well. She goes in the noontime because she's a lady of the evening, and so she goes at noontime. Jesus meets her at the well, and a great revival. She gets saved. About John 4, about verse 39 says, and many of the Samaritans started following the Lord. Here's where that revival started. And so Philip goes down there to add gasoline on the fire and stoke the fire, if you will. Now, anytime you have a great move or a great time revival, I promise you, the devil will show up. It happens in all churches. There's not one church. This is, and they're an exception to the rule. There's not. Anytime you have a great move of God, anytime you have something going on in the church, people start getting saved. Things start growing. I promise you, the devil's going to rise up. He's going to find a door that's just a little bit open, and he's going to go on through there. Somebody's going to get mad about something. Somebody's going to get tore up about something. And, you'll have a good Sunday, and it'll take you 3 weeks to get stuff calmed down or everything the devil done started. Now, I know that don't happen around here. Other churches. Verse 9, and there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. Now let me pause and say, all right, get the picture. I'm trying to paint you a picture. You got Samaria. and you got this fellow named Simon. He's selling Harry Potter books, and he's showing a lot of that witchcraft stuff, and he's reading people's fortune, and he's reading palms, and he's reading people's horoscopes to them. Y'all with me? That stuff is of the devil. If you, before you can get out of bed, if you got to find the newspaper and read your horoscope for the day, throw the newspaper away and get the Bible out before you hit your feet hit the floor and try that for a minute. That's sorcery. That's witchcraft. That's black magic. That's of the devil. And he's making money off these Samaritans. Now get the picture. Then you got some crazy preacher from Jerusalem coming down here, preaching a revival. People are getting saved. That's messing up his income. You see. So now he's obviously going to get stirred up. Verse 10, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. You got to watch it. The Bible says, try the spirits to see if they be of God. Now, if you don't think the devil can perform miracles too, then you might not have read Exodus too good. Because when God told Moses, what's that in your hand? He said, it's a rod. He said, throw it down. It turned into a snake. Remember that? Well, if you'd read on a little further, Pharaoh called in all his Harry Potters and his wizards and his vampires and all of that. You got to watch what you watch on television too. Some of that stuff is witchery, and it'll get into your house. It'll get into your, you see how I'm looking straight. I ain't looking at nobody. And I'm just letting the Lord just, hey, better be careful what you listen to, watch, because witchcraft will get into your home and into your life. Watch what books you read. Everybody, there was a day, I don't know if it is now, but everybody's all into this vampire stuff and sucking on everybody's neck. And that, what devilish stuff. The Walking Dead, come on, people. That's crazy. Craziness. Now you say, you're old-fashioned. Well, okay, whatever. Go on and let the devil in your house. Go on in there. And then call the preacher and say, preacher, there's something going on in his act. Can you come pray? No, I ain't come and pray. You shouldn't let him in the first place. Sure, I done got worked up. All right. What was I saying about Moses? Oh, yeah. Pharaoh called in all of his. And guess what? They threw down rocks and they turned into snakes too. The devil can do miraculous things. And just because you see something miraculous, you say, oh, that's got to be of God. Well, that's what these people in Samaria thought. Verse number 11, and to him they had regard because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. Verse 12, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the man and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Now watch this, verse 13. Then Simon himself believed also. Now, you have to but watch. Just let's keep reading and watch, because some of you are ready to, woo, he done got saved. Now watch. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered and beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now, notice the signs of the apostles and the miracles and all that was still in effect. They hadn't passed off the scene yet. They're still in effect in Acts chapter number 8. Verse 14, now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. So you got Philip down here in Samaria. Peter and John hears about everything going on down there. Peter and John leave Jerusalem, go down to Samaria to see what's going on, hear about the big revival going on, people getting saved, Simon the sorcerer, you know, he's getting, you know, whatever. They sent down to Peter and John, verse 15, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as of yet, he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 17, watch this. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Y'all see that? Now watch, let's get the picture right here in Acts chapter number 8, the Samaritans, half Jew, half Gentile. Half Jew, half Gentile, they started believing Philip's message. Philip They received the word. Philip baptized them, but they hadn't got the Holy Spirit in them yet. So they have to call Peter and John to come from Jerusalem all the way down to Samaria to lay their hands on these people of Samaria so they can get the Holy Ghost. Now, I know what y'all are thinking, because I thought the same thing. Now, that ain't how I got the Holy Ghost. Now think. In Acts chapter number 2, well, I'll show you. I got it somewhere. Watch this. You know, there's four different ways you can receive the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. That's why you have to be very careful about going to the book of Acts trying to prove anything, because you go to one chapter and it says do this, believe, da-da-da, baptize, and speak in tongues. Notice in Acts chapter 8, nobody spoke in tongues, but they had to have somebody lay their hands on them before they got the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter number 2, verse 38, they repented, were baptized, they received the Holy Ghost, spake in tongues, and nobody laid hands on them. See the difference? Then in Acts chapter number 10, well, let me show you. Look here. Y'all see Acts 2:38? Repent, be baptized, everyone, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sin. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. No hands laid, all of that. Just baptize, repent, be baptized, and you'll get it. Okay? Then in Acts chapter number 8, somebody has to physically lay their hand. Now, why am I driving this point home? It's because you'll see on television, if you watch television, you go to other churches, and I'm not talking about them, I love them, but you just got to read the Bible and rightly divide it, okay? And people say, now, if you want the Holy Ghost, you come down here on Sunday morning, let me put my hands on you, and boy, I'll get me some 3-in-1 oil, and I'm going to pop it on you, and you're going to fall down, get the Holy Ghost, flop around like a fish, and you'll get it. Where'd you get that about? Oh, Acts chapter number 8, I got it. Okay, what if I take you to Acts chapter number 2 where they didn't do that? What if I take you to Acts chapter number 10 over here, where there's a bunch of Gentiles? While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. All they did was hear the word, and they got the Holy Ghost. No, nobody laid hands on them. And then the fourth way is found in Galatians. Where's Galatians at? Galatians way over here. Watch this. Galatians, you ready? Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through who? Jesus Christ. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through the laying on of hands. Through what? Through faith. Boom. We could confuse a bunch of people if you don't know how to rightly divide. Y'all understand that? So, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, why did these Jews have to come from Jerusalem all the way down here to Samaria and put their hands on these Samaritans before they could get the Holy Ghost? I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to show you. You'll have to go to John 4. Let me go to John 4. Something, the internet just blinked and I lost my capability to go to a different verse. All right, John chapter 4. Jesus, woman at the well, verse 6. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary of his journey, sat thus on the well, and it's about the sixth hour, that's 12 noon. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou being a Jew, why are you talking to me? I'm a Samaritan, you're a Jew, we're not even supposed to be at this same well, that's why I came at noon so I wouldn't run into any of y'all. That's what it means in the Greek. How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Y'all see it? It's in the Bible. Verse 10. Jesus answered, said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is, said to thee, give me the drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children, his cattle? Jesus answered, said unto her, whosoever drinketh this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst again. That's a good place to say amen. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well springing up into everlasting life. Now, verse 15. The woman said unto him, sir, givest me this water, thou thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, go, call thy husband. He goes on to this husband thing. And this woman's got five husbands. The woman she's living with now ain't even her husband. I mean, this is who we're dealing with right here. Verse 19, the woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. If you know all about my husband's, all of my past, you must be a prophet. Verse 20, this woman's still talking. Woman Samaria says, our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Now, let me give you the background. You got a Jew talking to a Samaritan woman, half Jew, half Gentile. They're not even supposed to be associating one another. Jesus says, we worship in Jerusalem. This Samaritan woman says, well, our fathers, we worship, we built this temple here in Samaria because we don't go to church with y'all. Okay? We worship over here, y'all worship over there. And Jesus, you're telling me I got to go to Jerusalem to worship. Now watch, you'll get something hopefully here in a second. Where'd I get to? Verse 20, our fathers worship in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. Woman, you don't even know what you worshiping. We know what we worship. Are y'all ready? You're looking at it? For salvation is of the Jews. These Samaritans, remember I told you. We don't even touch. We won't shake hands. We don't greet one another. And so when God saves a bunch of Samaritans, he says, before I give you the Holy Ghost, I'm finna bring two Jews down there and see if they can put their hands on you. Yep. And them Samaritans, yeah, we want it. We're willing to lay this aside because, hey, that's a sign they got it. Peter and John laid their hands on them and they got it. Samaritans, half Jew, half Gentile. That's why they had to have the hands laid on them. You don't have to have. You do not have to come down here on Sunday morning and during invitation time and me to put my hands on you so you can get the Holy Ghost. You get it when you get saved and as Jesus Christ come in your heart and save you. Galatians chapter 3, I've already read the verse over here. You get it because Christ was crucified. He was cursed so that I could have the Spirit by faith. You see. There's a difference in who you're dealing with and who you're talking to. Does that make sense? I hope. All right. Now, let's go back to verse 18. Now, watch. Here Simon shows up back up. Watch him. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Y'all see? He just wants another trick to put in his bag so he can get some money off of it. Yep. Now watch what Peter. But Peter, verse 20, said unto him, thy money perisheth with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Amen. You can't purchase the gift of God with money. Verse 21, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter. You say, what does that mean? Simon, you don't even have a dog in this fight. Get somewhere and sit down. For thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. Man, you talking about, can you imagine a preacher telling somebody that? Hey, that's just being honest, ain't it? Verse 25, and they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Now, verse 26, we start part two. These were a bunch of Samaritans, okay? I'm trying to hurry because I want to get this whole chapter in before, and I promise it won't take very long. That is part one. That's Samaritans, okay? Now watch what happens. Big revival. Big revival's taking place, and Philip is, I'm talking about people are getting saved, and boy, just hands laid on, and boy, I'm telling you, everything's going just right. Verse 26. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Remember? See, look, go south. From the Bible, go south. Don't go north, go south. People up north can't be saved till they come south. I'm just reading the Bible for people. No, I'm kidding. Verse 27, and he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Now, let me show you this. Let me show you how the gospel is expanding. Okay, y'all see that picture again? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost part. Y'all see Egypt right down here? I guess, is that yellow to y'all? Okay, Egypt. That's where Ethiopia is. Ethiopia, right there, down there. Now, watch this. It's what happens. This Ethiopian man, he's an African down here in Egypt. Oh, I got a boy. Oh, you're going to love this, hopefully. Egyptian, an African man from Ethiopia. Y'all remember last week I told you Joseph was a picture and a type of Christ. And he married a Gentile bride. He married an Egyptian woman. His wife, his Gentile wife, was an Egyptian woman picturing Christ and the church. Stay in your seat. Don't worry about it. You'll get it later. All right, this man was returning, verse 28, was returning, sitting up in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet, the book of Isaiah. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near, join thyself to this chariot. Now, let me get the picture. Philip is preaching up way up there in Samaria. Big revival, people getting saved everywhere. And the angel of the Lord comes to Philip and says, hey, I need you to break off from there, go south, go down, go south and join yourself up with this fella. He's an Ethiopian man, and he's sitting up in his chariot reading his Isaiah Bible. And I need you to join up with him. Lord, you want me to leave all these people getting saved to go down there and just talk to one fella? You have to understand, that one fella, when he gets saved, is going to go back and spread the gospel down there. Okay, verse 29, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near, join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understand thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Now, hear me show you this in verse 31 real quick. I know I'm going a little fast, but hang on. Men like myself, like Philip, anybody that teaches or preaches or whatever, the only thing we can do, the only thing I can do is guide you. The Holy Spirit does the teaching. The only thing a human vessel can do is guide. Now, I know we call this teaching the Bible, what we're doing tonight, but actually what I am, I'm guiding you, and the Holy Spirit that lives on inside you should be doing the teaching. You get it? Verse 32. The place of the scripture which he read was this. This is Isaiah 53. It's where it's found, Isaiah 53. It's where he's reading from. Did you know Isaiah 53 is talking about he was a lamb led to the slaughter and all that? He's talking about Christ. Now, when Isaiah penned that, I don't think he knew that he was talking, you know, Isaiah was just writing what the Holy Spirit told him to write down. But now that we look back on it, we say, boy, that's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, a lamb led to the slaughter. So this is what this Ethiopian is reading out of Isaiah 53. He says, what does that mean? And so Philip joins himself up into this chariot and starts guiding him and pointing him in the right direction. Verse 33, in his humiliation, his judgment. This is all Isaiah 53. The end of verse 32 and verse 33 is Isaiah 53, verse 34. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet of this, of himself or some other man? Verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture. In other words, he looked at the Ethiopian eunuch. He said, hand me that Bible. And he began at the same scripture and preached unto him who?
Jesus.
He's saying, Ethiopian eunuch, that verse you're reading about the lamb led to the slaughter, that's him right there that just happened a few days ago. That right there is him, or a few years ago. Anyway, that's him right there. And so let's see, verse number 36. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now notice what you have to do before you can be baptized. Being baptized is not going to save you. He was getting the cart before the horse. Y'all see? He's reading the scripture and he says, oh, we're passing this lake right here, pond, whatever. He says, hey, here's some water. Would you baptize me? And Philip says, okay, hang on a minute now. Hang on, we got to get something straight first. Verse 37, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. You can't get baptized. It doesn't matter. You can get baptized all day long, but if you don't believe with all thy heart, it will do you no good. And he answered and said, this is what the Ethiopian eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen. Philip said, sounds good to me. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Now, let me say this. This is a little side note extra. I don't say much about this anymore because the Bible says, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. I don't mention a lot. Most of you know already I use the King James Bible. I believe the King James Bible. Somebody said, why don't you use some of the other ones? I ain't got this one figured out yet. And I'm trying, until I get this one figured out yet, I ain't going to move to another one. But I will tell you this. I don't know who's got what in here. Don't make any difference. I'm not trying to ask you to raise your hand or whatever. But here's one key. Find out whatever version you use, whatever version you use, if they leave out verse 37, you might want to come to me afterward and I'll guide you and get you a good Bible that's got verse 37 in it. Who would want to leave out verse 37? I mean, who would want to leave out, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest? And he said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You don't want to leave that verse out. You'd be surprised at a lot has been left out of some of the others. And very, you know, it's, you know, they try to paint the picture, oh, they just changed the these and the they, all baloney. You can't leave out a whole verse and there ain't no these and thous in there. Well, there's a thou, okay, hallelujah. Two of them. Look at verse, let's say, okay, all right. He commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both. Now, Roger, we may need to rethink this because if my daddy was still living, it's what he'd say. It's what he'd say. You know, nowadays, and I'm making this tongue in cheek, We're building a new building, right? Now, the baptistry that we had, I had to get wet. And it made it difficult. And I had to change, get out there to shake hands with people and, all that. Well, now they make them things to where only the person getting baptized gets in, and I stand behind it, and I've had those. Love them. Because, man, I can baptize and be out shaking hands before, everybody's like, boy, how'd you do that, And then my dad one time, he says, well, now you know what the Bible said. They both went down in the water. So we may have to both go down in there. I don't know. Anyway. But in Acts chapter number 8, they didn't have them little fancy jobs, okay? They was in a lake or a pond. They both had to get down in there. Now, here's something else. We love all of our, Methodist friends and our Presbyterian friends. We love them. We do. But now, some say, well, what's wrong with sprinkling? Well, if that's what you want to do, help yourself. But you can't get down and both of them go down in the water. And he didn't throw water in his face. He dunked him. Now, if baptism is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection, then we'll start sprinkling when the funeral home just stands a person up and just sprinkles dirt on them. What do they do? They put them all the way under. If you want to picture the death, burial, you go all the way under. Okay? Now, help yourself. Sprinkle anybody you want to. I'm just saying, what if you're going to picture the death, burial, and resurrection, you're going to have to do it right. Okay. Now, verse 39. And then when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found in Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. That's Acts chapter number 8 right there. And I did that in about 40 minutes, which is unheard of. Now, let me say this since I got a little extra time. Y'all remember Noah. Noah had three sons. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Y'all remember that? All right. He had three sons, Shem, Ham. Somebody may have to help me. Japheth. Okay. Shem. Everybody in this room, everybody in this world come from one of them three boys. The Shemites, there's your Jewish people. Your Ham. You got Japheth, your Europeans, Ham, Africa, you got Shem, your Jewish, Oriental, over there. Everybody came from one of them three boys. Okay? In Acts chapter number 8, Ethiopian eunuch, Africa, gets saved. Chapter number 9, the apostle Paul gets saved. Paul is a Jew. Chapter 10, Cornelius gets saved, which is a Gentile. Ham, Shem, and Japheth in the next three chapters.